Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
My mother warned me about getting into cars with strange men.
This isn't a car.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to End of Line. This is Ranger here with the shortened edition, but not short on stature, and certainly not short on what she has to say. Welcome, the rock star.
Howdy, it's good to be here on episode, 90210?
90125.
Party of 90. Of 9021, yeah. Party of
6 of
five?
9, Wait. 7 of yeah. 9, something. Anyway, so what happened is that we have a bunch of stuff going on in our real lives, damn them, and it's kind of prevented us from actually sitting down, writing the show, putting it together, crafting a bunch of stuff together, and corralling a third chair. In fact, we've actually had one or two third chairs where, no, really, we're going to do something. No, really, we're going to do a show. No, really. And then we've had to bail out because of real life commitments. So we apologize to everyone who is listening. But to make it up to you, and until we can roll in for a true episode 10, we thought we'd just give you a little something until we could get around to doing something a little longer, you know, in our normal 2-hour category.
Yeah, and that's a short podcast at 2 hours for us.
For them listening, not for recording. Boris and the Spears might actually have something to say different about that. Probably would.
You will be dead soon.
But let's kick off this shortened edition of EOL with Abomination.
Yeah, what you said. They're back. Or they might be at some point.
In these stories, we actually have some good things, I think, this time around. I mean, it sounds like it's an abomination, but actually, you know what? These are pretty cool ideas. Sam Raimi wants to do a remake of Poltergeist. Normally, that would be abomination. I would agree, but I don't know. The guy who did Evil Dead, the guy who brought us the first Spider-Man trilogy, I love Darkman. So, I don't know. Do you think Poltergeist is a story? I mean, it's so well known and has been made fun of on so many shows. South Park, Family Guy. Is it something that you could remake?
I think it's really hard to remake a classic. I don't think you're ever going to capture that same feeling that the original movie did. But it's such a good story that if you approach this from the perspective of, I'm not going to try and mess with a cultural classic, but I do want to remake this story in a way that will be maybe appealing to a different audience or just that has a different feel to it. So this might not be too bad.
How they're going to do the 80s alienation suburbia that Spielberg was so known for. In fact, he talked about that on 60 Minutes recently in an interview where he had a disagreement with his father. And that's kind of where some of his movie tropes come from. You know, I guess you could do it. I guess family suburbia would still work, or as long as they don't go to the point of a Poltergeist 3, you know? Or,
yeah, that would not be good.
No.
That would be abomination.
Yeah, that let's just leave that where that is. There's some other stuff that's coming out as well that I don't think is going to be horrible. I know that sounds strange.
Yeah, how about 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Captain Nemo, how can you go wrong? It's been told so many times. But David Fincher and Brad Pitt?
I don't know. I don't see this. I don't hate Brad Pitt, but I'm not a huge rabid fanboy either. And I'm having a hard time picturing him in this.
Really? The first rule about the Nautilus is you don't talk about the Nautilus? Is it?
Now that would work. I loved him in Fight Club. And so it's hard actually for me to think of him in anything else, even though he's been in so much. It's always just Fight Club. It's the first thing I think of.
I guess because I can think of him in Inglourious Basterds or 12 Monkeys or some other films that he's done. I guess I can see him being more of a chameleon than, say, Johnny Depp now, which no matter what he's done here lately, I keep coming back to, oh, look, it's the pirate guy again, which is a shame because Johnny's done things like Ed Wood and stuff like that where I've completely forgotten that it's him acting.
I think they should get Keanu Reeves. My name is Captain Nemo.
My name is Nemo. Yeah, I could see that. Also, if they could just put him back in Finding Nemo 3D, that would be cool too. If you just put him in there somewhere, yeah. It'd be great. That would mine. That'd be great. But the trifecta here, the third story in our little trifecta is, yeah, how about a Fargo TV series, you know?
Oh, you betcha.
Oh, I love this idea, I tell you. I am not a procedural person. I cannot stand procedural shows. My wife is watching Vegas right now, and there's too many anachronisms for putting a show in the quote-unquote 50s of Nevada and then making it like CSI. That just doesn't work for me. By the way, I don't like Elementary either, which is another CBS show, which is an American ripoff of the fantastical Stephen Moffat Sherlock, which is much better in the UK. Available on Netflix now. Go see it. But back to the story at hand. How do you feel about a Fargo TV series?
We're chasing a suspect wearing a scarf and a man bag. I want to watch for the accent. But beyond
Minnesota
that,
style.
I don't know.
I'm okay with this in that it was an interesting universe. Since the Coens are involved, that may make it really kind of a neat watch for me. You know, there's a show called Longmire on right now that has your favorite lady, Katie Sackhoff, on it, which is about this same kind of concept on TNT. But I think it's set in Alaska, if I remember right. Or it's set on, if not Alaska, I think it's set near an Indian reservation. I've watched like a part of it. She wasn't screaming, "You're going the wrong way," so I couldn't stay with it very long, you know, because all of Battlestar season 4. Oh, one day we shall talk. Anyway, I'm okay with this idea. I love the movie Fargo and I love the soundtrack. Carter Burwell, great music. Maybe there's enough here. Maybe there's not enough here. It certainly can't be any worse than some other movies that have been turned into TV shows later in life. So I'm mildly hopeful. And that's abominational hope. I don't know. I'm about to break an Adam Sandler if I keep doing that.
You can't make that work.
Yeah, I'm going to skip that. So, and you know what else we're going to skip real quick? The Nexus, because Rockstar and I have actually been busy in real life playing with the Nexus 7.
Yeah, we've been in the Nexus, just in a different way. Actually, I haven't been inside the tablet. Nexus, it's kind of small. I couldn't fit in there.
Anyway, we on another podcast where we play ourselves, actually, you might hear a little bit about the Nexus in the future. But in the meantime, just hang out here a little bit longer and we're going to entertain you about things we eat, you know, noms.
Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, what she said. Mm-hmm. Delicious.
So speaking of noms, we have 25 here that you shall never nom again. It's not fair.
Dude, there's some tough ones in here. Crispy M&Ms, I did like those.
Definitely. I'm sad about that. I remember Gatorade gum. Gatorade gum is in here. I didn't necessarily like Gatorade gum all that much, but it was kind of interesting. Four Loko is gone. You know, I never actually tried that.
My wife loved Butterfinger BBs.
Oh, Butterfinger BBs were awesome. The one I'm most angry about on this list is Doritos 3D. And I remember saying at the time, I was all super into Doritos 3D, and then they took them off the market. And my response was, the public wasn't ready for it. It was like they were a little too subversive somehow. You don't want people,
I don't remember French Toast Crunch. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. It was good. The one that didn't make it on this list, and I can't remember if I've ranted about doodads before or not, but doodads did not make it on the list, and they should have.
This was the most awesome
snack food ever.
My mother loved
Chex
doodads.
Chex Mix cannot compare.
My gosh. the thing I remember most about Doodads was there was a show on HBO called Not Necessarily the News. And Rich Hall, that's where he came up with Snicklets. And another thing that he had was he was going to grocery stores and turn boxes upside down so Doodads would read Spoo Oops. So it was very, very interesting. Pepsi Blue is on this list. I don't think I ever tried it. Shocking, believe it or not.
Yeah, there was Crystal Pepsi also, and I vaguely remember that one from the mid-90s.
How could you not? That was that Van Halen commercial, right now, and a bunch of stupid text on the screen.
Oh, yes. And they played that song. I used to march in the marching band, and for some reason, before every football game, when the crowd was still sitting there waiting for everything to start, they always played that song. I don't really understand it, but...
Oreos. I do remember Oreos, the cereal.
Oreos. Oh, wait. I'm thinking of something different. Yeah, because didn't that used to be the kind of catchphrase for Oreos? The commercial would be Oreos. But
something like
I guess
that.
They
but
did
these
a,
were
a
actual cereal
too.
like Cookie Crisp kind of going after competitor.
I think you all should send us your foods that you are sad that you can no longer nom again. What foods have basically destroyed your life and destroyed you emotionally because you can no longer get them anywhere?
Okay, now for this, we haven't done a taste test in a while, so let me set this up. I've been looking at some crazy stuff. If you've been following our Twitter feed, at EOL Show, or twitter.com/EOL Show, and you'll see that I've been talking about various foods here lately, and I've got one here that I wanted to try live. It's pumpkin pie Pop-Tarts.
Oh my, oh
it's
my.
For the
Are
season.
You sure we're not still in Abomination?
Yeah, possibly. So let me go get them out of the toaster, and through the magic of editing, we will try
they
this live and see what we get for Rockstar here. Oh my God, they smell like Pop-Tarts. I know that's a weird thing to say, but sometimes Pop-Tarts just smell, you know, these sort of smell like the cinnamon and sugar, brown sugar ones I've had before.
Ooh.
Okay, we have icing on the top, and it's kind of got sprinkly kind of things on it. It's in the middle on the top of the half, and of course the other side is the grilled mark of the classic Pop-Tart. I've got it here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take said bite.
Now that's a good review.
Oh, it takes a second. Okay. The pumpkin isn't on the front end. It's kind of sort of on the back. At first, I could taste mostly crust, but... Okay. So, yeah. Those sort of taste like pumpkin.
Is it really all spicy? Does it taste like pumpkin pie filling?
It has kind of a nutty flavor at first, and then the pumpkin kind of taste comes in the back, kind of like, not even like a pumpkin latte, but more as if you had eaten the last remnants of the pumpkin pie. So you'd gotten through the middle of the pie, and now you're towards where the crust is, and you've still
okay.
got little bits of pumpkin yeah. pie filling next to the crust. That's what it's like. I had to think about it for a second, but yeah, it's like, oh man, there's only like a piece left and it's so small and it's mostly crust. I'm going to eat it. Oh man, it's mostly crust. Yeah, that's what this is. It's not horrible. I mean, I don't regret.
That I would probably like. I don't really
I don't
like
regret
the
this.
Super in-your-face pumpkin flavor, but that sounds kind of good.
These are warmed up, so I don't know what they would be like cold. I don't know if I could do that with. I could do that with some, but I don't know if I could do that with those. That'd be like drinking cold pumpkin latte from Starbucks or something.
Ew.
Yeah. Okay, so these are not horrible. They're seasonal. So if you want them, you might want to run out and get them also. We'll have a link in the show notes to pumpkin pie ice cream from Bluebell, which is also a seasonal flavor. This is pumpkin-flavored ice cream with pecans in it. They're kind of candied and some other pieces. They also have Christmas cookie, and I am currently working on Gingerbread House. And Gingerbread House is cinnamon ice cream with pieces of gingerbread in it. and sprinkles and probably 5,000 grams of sugar in every spoonful, but it's incredibly really good. Link in the show notes, of course, Bluebell, right up the street from me, so that kind of works out really well. They're always dropping off the crazy flavors here. Even though this is an EOL extra, I want to finish eating these Pop-Tarts, and Rockstar wants to get ready for the next part of the podcast. But hey, coming up after the break, we've got Consumin', as well as a little bit more to talk about on this little EOL 90-90219-9-5. Yeah, we'll be back.
Blue is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Red is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Well, yeller's sweller for this little feller.
And me, I'm keen on green.
So what's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like
what's
this.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives and the Ad Council.
And we're back after Ranger burned his...
This is so what? Good.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, I did. Thank you.
Did you burn the roof of your mouth?
Just a little. Not like a pizza burn, you know, but more off to the side, not the roof. But
yeah, you got to be careful. The fillings in those things can be evil.
Toaster strudels could be so much hairier. I mean, wait, no,
oh,
that's
you
got to
be careful. You could, like, burn your face off.
Yeah, but I don't
those.
Think I want hair in my toaster strudel. Toaster strudels can be so much more deadly. Yeah, it's a little better. It's an extra. I'm trying. What can I say? But I'll tell you what else I've been trying. How about cinnamon roll Captain Crunch?
That sounds good. That sounds very good. I actually have thought that they should make a cinnamon roll cereal that has the shape of honeycombs. That would just be awesome. But how's
like
the Captain
idea.
Crunch?
Oh, I like this idea. It does taste like cinnamon. I know some people would go, ooh, cinnamon rolls and milk, but it's not overt. It's not like Cinnamon Toast Crunch where it's powdery and you get like a bowl full of powdered milk at the end. It's
Which I
kind of
like,
decent.
But that's okay.
And you know how peanut butter Captain Crunch can be kind of sticky or pasty
yes.
at times? Yeah, this doesn't do that. This actually stays pretty crunchy. And so it was different. It looked pretty interesting on the cereal aisle. And I went, okay, I like Captain Crunch and I like cinnamon rolls as long as they're not like Cinnabon with 50 pounds of extra glaze on them. So I'll try this. It's not bad. Certainly something, again, to try. It's a bigger box, cost a little more than the normal boxes. Seems that peanut butter crunch always costs the most for the less in the box. Darn it. And I've also been eating these cinnamon and yogurt-covered pretzels from Bucky's. There's a Bucky's in Stevensville, actually, that sells these things. And I am here to tell you that they are probably one of my 5 favorite foods on the planet this month. They are just unbelievably good, and they're handmade, and they're just evil. They have blueberry ones, and they have some other flavors, but the cinnamon one sounded really good. Now, this does have a high flavor for cinnamon. When you bite into this, you know you're eating cinnamon. It's kind of worked into the yogurt, and it really is a good bite. I just you get the crunch. You know, that's what they say on Food Network all the time on Chopped. I'm missing the crunch. You know, it's
right.
I really like what you cooked
with this.
Yeah.
Is there a hint of salt? Because that
on the pretzel,
that,
on the
you know,
pretzel.
That salty sweet thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the pretzel, so you get that sugary flavor that you get with some yogurt covered things. You get the cinnamon on top immediately, and then you get the salt and the crunch from the pretzel.
Yum.
Yeah, they're definitely evil, but also not something you want to leave in the car in Texas.
Ooh.
Because you will have one large collage of cinnamon pretzels if you're not careful. So a little bit of time in front of the air conditioning vent, fixed that. 20 miles later, we were good. But just so you know, these are melty kinds of things. And I'll have a, I don't know if I can find a link, but I'll have a link to Bucky's. Bucky's a great place to stop at here in the Texas area. They're just sprouting up all over, and they have all sorts of jerky and different types of deli meats and wraps and stuff. They're kind of like a mom-and-pop-ish 7-Eleven, but a mom-and-pop-ish 7-Eleven that has a lot of money behind it. There you go. That kind of gives you an idea. And then I got on video The Dark Knight Returns Part 1. Now, our opening quote, of course, was The Dark Knight Rises, but The Dark Knight Returns actually has a little bit of that in it, believe it or not. In fact, The Dark Knight Rises is kind of a mixture between Batman's No Man's Land, Nightfall, and bits and pieces of The Dark Knight Returns. Now, on paper, that sounds like a great big mess. Believe it or not, the movie actually works pretty well in putting that together. I wouldn't have thought it was possible. But the animated version here of The Dark Knight Returns, it's kind of stuck because Frank Miller's The Dark Knight is such a famous adaptation of Batman, and everybody has riffed on it over the last 25 years. There isn't some form of it that isn't in the Batman animated series, that isn't in the films that came afterwards. It literally set the tone for the darker Bruce Wayne and the non-Adam West Batman. It is interesting, though, because they've had to change some things because of they can't use some of the same copyrighted material that was used in the comics and some of the references. And some of the references are dated as well, so it doesn't work as well. But this movie covers the first half of the Dark Knight Returns graphic novel. Pretty does go into about the middle of the story before you get to, spoiler, the Joker. It is voiced by RoboCop himself as Batman.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was not thinking that it was Peter Weller at first. I literally had to look up IMDb to see who it was because it didn't sound like Peter Weller at first. After a while, it does. But it's not a bad Batman, although Kevin Conroy, of course, is still the voice of Batman, probably always will be. The animation is very much held to Frank's style in the comic. It moves pretty slow. This is not super action-oriented, and it was never meant to be. It's more of a deconstruction of Batman and Gotham. Batman at the twilight of his career, and he's been out of the game for, you know, some time. He's 60 years old, and he's not sure if he will ever come back because of something that happened to a Robin, and that's alluded to as well. It's a really good adaptation. I'm going to get part two. I can't help myself. I know I'll be getting part two because I just like the way that they're telling the style of the story. And it's available on DVD and Blu-ray or Blu-ray combo pack with ultraviolet. So something really worthwhile. The extras on the second disc is pretty neat. You actually get Two-Face, the Batman animated series episode, part one and two, which is fantastic because Martin Mull is the voice of Two-Face. Love the score from Shirley Walker. And there's a actual documentary of the man who created Batman, Mr. Kane, and what it was like for him to live his life, and even has some great interviews from his friend Stan Lee. So definitely worth the disc to get some of those extras if you didn't have them on other Warner's releases. What you been playing with, Rockstar?
Well, I actually have a confession to make.
Oh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh?
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you a little story about the Rockstar and the creepy candy cornucopia. This has not quite reached the level of ranch and blue cheese, but Ranger and I have often debated on Twitter about candy corn, and my feeling is that candy corn is so popular around Halloween because it is both frightening and evil. So yes, that explains why candy corn is so popular around this time of year. Well, recently I got something, or my family got something. I had no involvement. I can't be blamed.
Sure.
And this was from a place that we have called Healthy Home Market or Home Economist. They've kind of changed their names here and there, so it can be one or the other. And this was called the Fall Mix of Candy. And in this were various and sundry things, and this included your standard candy corn flavor, as well as cinnamon candy corn. And I have to admit that while I despise candy corn in general, the cinnamon candy corn was actually kind of good.
What? The lady who said nasty words to me when I sent her the link for the candy corn Oreos? What?
Yeah. I've outed myself now. My shame is there for the world to see.
Cinnamon, I see what your problem corn. Was. This girl was set to evil. Oh, wait. No, that's a Simpsons quote. I'm kind of mangling there. March.
So let's stop talking about my shame now. I want to move on. Can we edit that? Let's just pretend this never happened.
The doll's trying to kill me and the toaster's been laughing at me. Ooh, dog water. Sorry. Once again, classic Simpsons.
Gotta Treehouse have a Simpsons reference at least one in every episode.
Can you spot each one? Go back through the other shows and see if you can. It's a drinking game, honestly. Really? No, I just made it up. But, you know, the point is still sound. What else you been playing with?
Well, I finally watched the Hunger Games movie. I had read all three books and I liked them. They are still not my favorite, my absolute favorite young adult dystopian stuff.
It sounds like its own genre. I love
It kind of is.
Young dystopian drama.
It kind of is. But I really enjoyed the Hunger Games book, so I wanted to watch the movie. I did that finally, and it was what I expected, which was
it sounds bad already.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't expecting anything fantastic or spectacular, and that's exactly what I got. I guess my problem is that it's very difficult to present some of the things that helped to flesh out the characters in the books. It's difficult to make that translate to a movie. So while they were pretty good at following the general storyline, and there were, you know, all sorts of interesting costumes and sets and things like that. So that apparently was done well. But I came out of the movie thinking, I don't really care that much about what happens to any of these people. And that's not how I felt in reading the books. Yeah, I will still watch the sequel just to see what they've done. But I don't know. Again, the characters just weren't drawn well enough for me.
So this thing made a buttload of money. Did you feel like this was a commercial success for somebody who may be new to the franchise, who might not have been familiar with the books? Or does it have all the trappings of the quote-unquote summer movie?
It's hard to say. I think the books had become pretty popular. So I think that many of the people who watched this had either read the books or knew someone who did. And so the books were kind of their own fad of sorts.
Yeah.
And then people wanted to rush out and watch it because, oh, I knew somebody who read that, but I don't really like reading, so I'll go watch the movie. And that's what
AKA
it's
Twilight.
About.
AKA Twilight.
Exactly. That's very much how I would classify the public perception here.
Well, it's interesting because Divergent is up for a movie treatment as well. And it's going to be seen as a me too, you know that, going into
it. Yes, of course it will be. And I will have to be punching people because I think that Divergent is better and it'll be this big argument. And I doubt that the movie is going to do as well as Hunger Games because the book never had this sort of mainstream appeal where everybody was either reading it or talking about people who had read it. And that's unfortunate. I think that the story in Divergent has a better chance of translating well to a movie than The Hunger Games did. And I can't really describe why, but I think that it's going to be possible to draw these characters who are either fearless or, you know, struggling with various and sundry things, or the, you know, to have a faction who is intelligent and therefore highly arrogant. I think that can be played well on the screen. So that should be interesting to see.
I finished it, by the way, just in case anybody is playing the home game. I did finish it. We've had enough time between episodes, and it felt, as I told Rockstar, very much like Buffy. And it had a Buffy kind of move to it of a girl empowered and girl finding her power, which is a lot of what Buffy's about with the Chosen philosophy. You know, Joss can do that in such a neat way. I understand you saw something else that's Joss related?
I did, and I really, really enjoyed it. I finally saw The Avengers, and this is kind of interesting for me because I have mentioned on the show before that I have familiarity with Iron Man and Captain America and all these things. I never watched the movies, and I never understood the full stories of each of these characters that feature in The Avengers, but I was still able to watch it even though I only had a very kind of brief outline of the histories behind each of these characters. I knew just enough to make it all pull together and work well. So The Avengers was quite awesome. I was pleasantly surprised by that. I thought all these people who are talking about how great the movie is, these are the people who are big fans of each of the characters who feature in the movie, so I'm probably not going to like it much. But it turns out that I did, and I really loved the portrayal of Loki and Thor in the movie. That was great to see. And I've actually been reading something where said gods appear, not in their Avengers form per se, but I've been reading a series called The World Gates series by Holly Lyle, I think, or could be Lysel. I think the S is silent like an aisle, but what do I know? This begins with Memory of Fire, and then Wreck of Heaven, and then Gods Old and Dark is the third in the series. And this is an urban fantasy, worlds within worlds kind of thing, moving between either parallel universes or different worlds that may be close to each other, and how something that happens in one world can have a cascading effect to the world that is next to it. Very, very well written series. Highly recommend it. And again, Thor and Loki do appear in the later books in the series, although it doesn't revolve around a lot of deities per se.
Or the Marvel Universe.
No, it has nothing to do with Marvel Universe. So this is
calm down, fanboys. Calm down.
Yeah, this is mythical Ant-Man Thor and mythical there. Loki. So yeah.
Well, now that you've seen The Avengers, there's like five movies that lead up to that. Do you want to watch now Hulk and Thor and Captain America and Iron Man 1 and 2?
I kind of do, and I was surprised by that as well. I now sort of understand people when they talk about, well, I really liked Ed Norton as the Hulk, and I really liked this guy as the Hulk. And I think it will be interesting to see Ed Norton as the Hulk.
It's not a bad movie. It really, I don't dislike the Ang Lee movie. I love the Danny Elfman score, but the Ed Norton version of the Hulk really wasn't terrible. It's just that, you know, that's not a character that does, you know, leaps at a building in a single bound or racing trains or something like that. So the Hulk, you know, you have to get him angry. So there's a long period of time in the movie, like in The Avengers, where it's just, you know, Banner. And I think that's what Joss did really well in Avengers, is there's such great dialogue in that movie, and it feels very, very Buffy-ish. But the conversation between Banner and Iron Man's owns Tony Stark inside S.H.I.E.L.D. is just pure D, Angel, Firefly, everything you've ever liked. So if you really love those shows, you're going to love the character interplay on The Avengers. A lot of those movies are also available on Netflix, so you can find First Avenger there. You can find Iron Man 1 and 2. You can find Thor. I'm not sure if the Edward Norton Hulk is there or not, but there is also a big 6-DVD box set with lots of extras, too, if you want to get The Avengers. So it's the Tesseract Collector's Edition, which is pretty neat. Eh, a little expensive, but still nice to have. It's a coffee table kind of thing for us who are in geek land. And you know what? Also there, new seasons of 30 Rock, season 7 of Supernatural, season 2 of several other shows that you might be following, series 2 of Sherlock. My gosh, there's just so much stuff that has just shown up on Netflix. That's where I'm spending a lot of time as well.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
So just a short between the covers for this extra, the Reading Rainbow actually has a collector's edition episode up on iTunes, and it's for free. And I went and grabbed it. It's both in high def and standard edition, and I took a look at this. It is LeVar Burton talking about the history of Reading Rainbow and how it was on for 155 episodes and what it was like to do the show. And he actually showcases several episodes that he found to be most memorable out of the show's run. So there's a little bit on there about a grandmother talking about her escape from Germany during World War II and some other things about lima beans, which I thought was kind of funny. I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, it's free and you can go grab it. And, you know, it's a show that helps promote reading, so it might be something worth having on your iPhone or iPad or whatever.
Well, I never have enough to read. I mean, I am just completely devoid of books.
Yeah.
So,
you bet. Never.
That's why I was excited to see the top 10 fantasy books of 2011 released by Ranting Dragon. And this is a site that I'd never really seen before, and now I'm kind of obsessed with it because there are lots of reviews, there are forums, there are all kinds of things, various threads as far as what to read next if you like a particular
author. Would you say 50 Shades of forums?
I did not. Nor will I.
Oh, okay. Well,
we're not talking about that kind of fantasy.
Nice to know that you have boundaries in both your reading. Never mind. I'm going to move swiftly along.
Moving quickly onward.
Yeah, there we go.
How about reading something from this top 10 fantasy reads for 2011? You've got people like Brent Weeks, who has certainly released lots of novels, although I haven't read any of them yet. And then you've got newcomers to the genre. There's Queen of Kings by Maria Davana Headley. This one looks kind of interesting, and I'm not going to list the remainder of the top 10. I'll leave that to you, dear reader, to check out in the show notes.
Any of these, per se, have Audible titles to them, do you know?
There are a couple which do, but I am actually continually saddened because I will see a brand new book and think, oh, hey, this will be on Audible. And a lot of times it just isn't. So Audible seems to be very much about recording the things that have already gained some popularity.
Yeah,
so if you're looking for something like Robin Hobb or whatever, you're going to see that on Audible the day that it comes out. But if you're looking at some newcomers to the genre or those that maybe have a cult following, but they're not bestsellers per se, then Audible may not be the place for you.
They seem to be going into back catalog a lot. Like you said, their Frontiers collection, which is one of their ranges for science fiction, has been doing a lot of Jerry Purnell. So it seems like there's a lot of classics coming up, which is good. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But, you know, unless you're somebody like, I don't know, the man who wrote Demon and Freedom with his new book,
Daniel Suarez,
then you kind of are not really seeing something, although I've been reading that there's a couple of books that I've wanted to read coming to Audible, being read either by their authors, which scares me, or they're in line for a good reader to grab them soon. I'm thinking of Zero Day and some others. So there's some good stuff coming. You have to stay on top of that kind of stuff and keep checking back periodically, because they sometimes go in waves where they just release a bunch of books all at once. Well, that's going to do it for this incredibly long EOL Extra, but incredibly short EOL show. We will be back doing a real show, believe it or not, with a third chair and everything. But we just wanted to be able to...
Once we get the straps fixed.
Exactly. The chair does need maintenance. This is true. Byron is just terrible. Chews on the straps, everything. It's just wrong. Just wrong. Thank you, Byron. But we will be back until then. Check us out, of course, Twitter, which is twitter.com/EOLshow. The website, EOLshow.com. You can leave us an email at resources@serotalk.com. Or if you're in iBlink Radio, which is available for free from the iOS store or, of course, Android, you can leave us an iReport right up there at the top. You can see it. It says Submit iReport right there. It's awesome. We'd love to get your feedback. So we're going to go out here with a little bit of music. You know, we've been talking about food, and maybe not good food, so let us learn from the master of food, the person who really taught us all. No, not Justin Wilson, no. How about Julia Child? She'll take us out on this episode.
What makes a great chef? Well, training and technique, of course, plus a great love of food, a generous personality, and the ability to invent hot chocolate truffles.
Meltingly addictive hot chocolate truffles. Balls of creamy chocolate filling that are rolled in fresh crumbs. Let's have another piece.
As long as the dough is relaxed, it's ready to roll. Ready to
Let's
roll.
Let's have another piece.
All in a ball. Ready to roll. Ready to roll.
Freshness is essential. That makes all the difference. All the difference.
I like the smell of something cooking.
Makes me feel it. Bring on the roasted potatoes. Bring on the borscht. This is what good cooking is all about. This is what good cooking is all about.
Like sour cream cheese fillings. And the sweet topping, all on that crisp pastry. Mm-hmm. You can't define these in a recipe. You can only know them, by knowing how the food should taste. The blend of oil, fresh lime juice, fresh ginger, and fish sauce. You need some fat in your diet, or your body can't process your vitamins. Freshness is essential. That makes all the difference. I like the smell of something cooking. Makes me feel it. Bring on the roasted potatoes. Bring on the borscht. This is what good cooking is all about. This is what good cooking is all about. Cook and cook and keep on cooking. This is the way to live. Cook and cook and keep on cooking. This is the way to eat. Bon appetit. Test of a good chef is a perfectly roasted chicken. The lemons, the garlic, the rosemary,
butter-free,
rosemary, full, rich, and creamy, suspended in its sauce. So you have to watch it. Don't let it cook too long. Beat it up a little bit, just to soften it. Fast and tough and rough. Then it's gonna show you how you do it. Beat it up a little bit, just to soften it. Chop it, fold it, roll it. Chop it, fast and tough and rough. Freshness is essential. That makes all the difference. I like the smell of something cooking. Makes me feel it. Bring on the roasted potatoes. Bring on the borscht. This is what good cooking is all about. This is what good cooking is all about. Cook and cook and keep on cooking. This is the way to live. Cook and cook and keep on cooking. Everyone gather around the dinner table. Cook and cook and keep on cooking. This is the way to live. Cook and cook and keep on cooking. This is the way to eat. Bon appetit.
My mother warned me about getting into cars with strange men.
This isn't a car.
It's not too far off of Christian Bale, believe it or not.
I know.
Been working on it.
Sorry.
I'd like a double cheeseburger.
How about a large orange drink?
Swear to me.
There we go. Sorry.